I'm talking about Vetri Maran for his last film, Visaranai. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Vetri, just tell me a bit how you started this project. When you started this project, of course, just let's outline it for our audience.
So, see, I had actually started work on another film, and the film was on the floor. We were shooting the film when I got to read this book, written by Chandra Kumar.
Lock up.
Yeah. As soon as I finished reading the book, I realized that this is the story that I need to tell and not the one that I was making. So I went, met my producer, who also happens to be the actor, Dhanush. So I just met him and told him that, Dhanush, see, this is the film that I need to tell. And I don't think the film that I'm shooting is the film that I want to do. So I just want to shelve this. And he was, being the actor and the producer, he was quite taken aback by that thing. But he said, if you are not into doing a film, please don't do it. And if you really want to do this film, please go ahead. So then I was about to just tell him the idea of the film. And he said, please don't tell me. If I like the film, then I'll want to do it. So let's not do that. You just finish the film and show me the final product. I'll just watch it. So that's where it started. What was so compelling about the book Lockup was, it's not an isolated incident. It is Chandra Kumar and his friends are the face of thousands and thousands of faceless people throughout the world, the subaltern, the immigrants, the people without power, without voice, so the oppressed. So these four people become the face of the whole lot of people. So I thought, if I could capture their pain on screen, then they could be, this voice could go beyond the book or the prison walls. Mm-hmm. So that was my intention.
And to actually capture this, you really moved throughout the film with a rhythm that is like constantly alternates the idea of like repression, also as a surrounding, as a space, and also the outside. But you still feel the oppression even on the outside. How did you work on that, especially visually speaking? I just want to know about exactly your aesthetic sort of ways of filmmaking.
See, frankly speaking, the first part of the film, the first half of the film, I never thought that film language was in my repertoire until I started the film. You know, while on the sets, while composing, while choreographing, I realized that this film is asking, it's demanding for a different kind of film language and a lighting pattern, which I thought I could never deliver. Then gradually, when piecing up things, and I just inform my cinematographer, please light up the whole place, let us not light up for each and every shot, just fix the lights and let the characters be there and let them enact and react to the situation, let them be the cops, let them be the prisoners being interrogated, let us just be there and capture them. So it was, we were just being observers, we let things happen, we never tried to get involved and make things happen.
You do sense that when you watch the film, the fact that actually it's got this sort of theatrical approach, but it's not theater. You know, it's more about like trying to look it into the most real way of looking at things. Did you ever encounter any throwback though about that kind of approach? Did it need a lot of cuts, for example, or you thought actually that was the best atmosphere for the actors to thrive and communicate that violence that actually the film, you know, embodies?
Frankly speaking, this was the best ambience mm-hmm. to bring that out. And because there is so much of silence and there so much of screams, you know, parallelly, the sense of an imminent danger, an ominous feeling is throughout the film. It is throughout, maintained, especially even through sound. We had tried to just capture that. And there are certain scenes where we had used very lengthy shots, like which runs for 3.5 minutes, 4 minutes, or 5 minutes, 6 minutes even. So we just try to retain that so that it builds. The silence builds. And it just doesn't build within the film, but it starts building within the viewer. Mm-hmm. You just anticipate something to go wrong, because throughout the film, that's the mood. So we were just trying to work on that. And we had to do a lot on the edit as well, because we had so much. We just let the actors do the work. And especially the second part of the film, I didn't write the film at all.
Wow.
I just told the actors, I can't bear the guilt alone of writing these scenes. I'm just asking you all to do, just say whatever you feel like saying in a given situation. So I just, with my cinematographer, I was just moderating between what the actors had to say. And I just put the, set up everything, let the actors there, and I was following the actors. That's it.
And so this crescendo actually that you achieved, that meant also that you kept your actors, you hid parts of the things from your actors, and that also precludes the fact that you kind of shot it in a chronological order. Is that so, or you actually took another sort of approach?
I shot the film chronologically, okay. Especially the four boys in the film. They didn't know what was the next scene. They were as lost as they are in the film in real life well. They didn't know what was going to happen during the court sequence that happens where the boys are liberated. They were so happy and excited, they started crying. Then, when they happened to be taken into the last sequence where they're taken into a secluded house, the fear that was there was real. They really didn't know what was going to happen to them. And when the first boy gets shot from there, they realized that their lives were in danger.
Of course.
And it was so intense that all the actors, the technicians, we had to go on a meditational retreat after the film.
Oh, wow.
So, after the shoot, we had to do that.
And do you, you know, now, of course, the film is done. Now it's here in Horizonte. Is that its own life? Have you ever imagined it afterwards, of course, you know, the film was completed, that you could have done it in a different way? Or you think this is the most righteous and the best way to present the issue of interrogation, the way that you've done it?
I think it's too early for me to think on the film in a retrospective way. Maybe 2 years later, I would have looked at it in a different way. I might have a different interpretation to the film. But as of now, I'm very convinced with the result, because whomever has come across the film has been very... They were able to get what we wanted to give them. So that way, I think we're able to take it forward in the right direction. So I feel, as of now, we have done it right.
And so in 2 years' time, we're going to talk about your new film, but also look in retrospect about this one. Of course, you hear, you know, in Venice, that's a wonderful start for your film. And you're already thinking about something else? Are you one of those directors that can never stop, or you can take some break?
No. I would really want to push and make this, like, I just want to capitalize on this momentum and make this film big, and make as many people watch this film possible.
I'm glad you say so, because this is definitely a must watch, because it sheds incredibly essential lights on India, and also, of course, of the desire of gaining human rights all over the world. So thank you so much, Vedri, for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much for giving me this time for an interview.
Thank you. Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.